it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Folks, if you'd like a copy of my best-selling first book, Tales of a First Round Nothing, head on over to ECWPress.com. If you'd like a copy of my second book, Tales with TR, Fights, Film, and Folklore, head on over to www.flankerpress.com. If you'd like either copy personalized, just add a note. Thanks for listening to my podcast, and happy reading.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Tales with TR episode, where are we, 202B, I believe. And I just got back from a lengthy trip, but it was kind of three in one. Went to Yorkton, Saskatchewan, and then one weekend, and then this past weekend, I had to go to Sarnia in Yorkton. I spoke at the annual sports dinner, and then in Sarnia, of course, I had to go out and speak to a group of workers at the oil refinery in Suncor, and there was a bunch of different unions represented, and they wanted to talk about teamwork. And I was a little nervous for that one, to be honest. I don't often get nervous for these things. I really don't, unless I have to just straight up speak to a group. I like speaking to a group, but in all the other ones I've been doing, you know, there's a mediator on stage or a moderator, to ask questions, or it might be a live Q&A. I might be up there all by myself, but you know, it's live Q&A when you're speaking to a group in a lunchroom, right? It was like lunch break. So they were all in their like hard hats and outfits, dressed for like the workday, the 12-hour shift, right? So they came in and there was like a lunch break and then a safety meeting. So my speech was in the safety meeting. So I guess part of that, they would have been, safety meetings can be boring. So maybe that added some spice. But you know, it's not like, it was just a different crowd. Like, there's no stage or anything, right? I just grabbed the mic and kind of walked around in between the tables. And you never really know, right? Now, there's a bunch of people in there working, but they're not necessarily into hockey or Shorzy or my books, you know, or the Canadians maybe, or any of that. So that's why, though. So for a lot of reasons, this was difficult, but I did too. I thought the second one went way better than the first. Even as it goes, I spoke for an hour. I think the first one, an hour and maybe a little bit. And then the second one, I was up there for an hour and a half. First one, even less than an hour. So the second group got a better bang for their buck. Not that they paid, I guess. But anyway, I got paid. The workers didn't pay me. Suncor did, obviously. Anyway, yeah, so I just kind of blended some stories together. I mean, everything I do in my life is a result of teamwork in one way or another. I mean, it all branches out of hockey, and any successful hockey player, by that I mean, you know, you played any substantial level anywhere, would probably tell you, even younger minor hockey players, I would think the message is team first, right? Most sports, I know that was the case when I joined hockey. If my dad wasn't a player, if my grandfather wasn't around, if it was just me and I just went to the arena to absorb minor hockey, one of the first messages would have been, it's a team sport. Got to be a sacrifice for the team, right? So that's been drilled into my head for all those years. Anybody else that played, I would think most sports, they require other people, if they're team sports, would be the same idea. Even golf or tennis, not really team sports, but, well, they can be, but, you know, you got a team around you. So you rely on other people and trust them. And it's not the exact same kind of sacrifice, trust, and trust that you would have for the game, but still there. I think any successful person, I would think, not any success, but most successful people in one way or another, might be indirectly, but there is a team of sorts around them. So I guess that's the reason I was speaking, because, you know, a lot of people representing, like I said, a lot of different unions as all part of the same industry. So they have to work together. I assume that was why they had the theme was teamwork, I'm thinking. And sometimes, you know, work gets, especially when you're on those sites, when you're in a place like an oil refinery, you know, a lot of times there's a lot of work in a short period of time, and teamwork's essential. Anyway, it was fun. I liked Cerny. I'd been to Cerny. I'm trying to think, man. It was long ago to see junior hockey. I'm talking like late 90s even. And then I went back. I was in the area maybe 2000s, went to a game. But it was the winter, and in and out, I didn't really have a chance to hang. But this was one of the other day. It was like only 4 days ago. And beautiful. Got to say, the weather, it was the first nice day that I've experienced. We're getting spring here in Newfoundland, and everywhere I've been, Yorkton, like I said, out there, and Alberta the week before, and Binghamton, New York. And it's just kind of tipping. It's nice, but little chilly, right? Need a jacket, right? Make sure you got your socks in. But that was the first nice day. The afternoon, it was about 18 degrees Celsius, and it was beautiful. The town, and some quaint little restaurants. I had a place called Greens. It was veggie cuisine, and it was dynamite, to be honest with you. I had a taco. And a salad. Anyway, it was a real good spot. If you're in the area, I got no reason to say it. They charged me full price for the meal like they should have. I don't know. I have anybody on the inside, no horse in the race, but I liked it. If you're in Sarnia, it's right in the middle of downtown. And we went another place. I think it was called Bad Dogs. Bad Dogs or Bow Dogs. And that was all right as well. More than all right. And it's a great sports town. And the people I spoke to, a lot of them were from Sarnia. Like I said, a lot of them, I'm sure a lot of the room didn't know who I was, right? When you, not everybody's into those things. So thanks to those people for bearing with it. Anyway, it was a very nice, eventful week in Toronto. I in between Yorkton and Sarnie, of course, I did like a mini press tour in Toronto, or press junket, they would call it, in the industry. Went to see Jay Onwright, Mick Kern with Sirius Satellite Radio. There is a funny story. One second. Okay. Listen. I got to tell you this story. Not much of a story, I guess. I suppose. During this press junket I was doing, I wanted to make sure I got the name right. So this girl, I went on E-Talk, Tyrone Power, I believe his name is, and I was fairly aware of all that. But I wasn't aware of this show, Good Stuff with Mary Berg. Usually I have an idea. I try to pay attention to people that I might meet, to shows I might go on, and I'm in Canada. So in general, you know, I generally come across people in the industry. So I try to have an idea about most, just like, you know, my buddies put out a book or a CD or something, or anybody local. I really try to know about it. I try to absorb some of it. So I can represent my province the best when it comes to a press junket, so I can represent Shorzy the best, right? I want to know a little bit about a lot so I can converse. But I didn't know who this Mary Berg was. Now, I guess she started as a foodie and she's got an awesome show. Since, of course, I went and watched a bunch that were already out there. I posted it, a picture of her, and my mom went crazy. My aunts, people that are into her, are really into her. And she looks like, I don't know, a cross between Pippi Longstockings, at least the day I was there, and Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz, say. Dresses like cute, funky, nostalgic. And anyway, so Bell Media does our show, Shorzy, of course. So the first day at least was in there. So I went to see Jay Onwright on TSN. It's out in Scarborough. And then the next morning I got up and I went in with Rachel Newman. Awesome. She represented the show well and she was kind of my PR girl for the week. So we got up and we went into Bell and we did like, I don't know, 6 or 7 shows in the building, including we did Bar Down. Most of you guys probably know that listen to this for the hockey content with Corwin and Jesse. And then we, I forget the girl's name. She's also on Bar Down. It'll come to me. Did one with her. And then when, you know, like I said, and so made my way around the building. So I don't really know what's happening. So they're saying next year going on Good Stuff with Mary Berg. Perfect. But then I go like I go to the bathroom, I come out, like we're in this little hallway, like, you know, like, so they bring me into this room and it's like a live studio audience. I had no idea what's going on here. I had no fucking clue. Now, Rachel, of course, did send me an itinerary. I could have just read that, but usually I don't care. I'm like, you know, whatever. I know some of them might be on TV. I try to look as nice as I can. You know, I had a lady named Shauna. I don't know if she wants me to say her last name, so I'll leave it out. No reason. I just, Sandra. She was great. She came up and, you know, did my hair, recommend, well, part of her job was to just make sure that my face looked all right for TV. But, you know, I went through some wardrobe changes. What do you think of this? What do you think of this? She helped me look my best for the TV, so we're all good. So, you know, I looked okay. I looked presentable, but I didn't have any idea I was going to go on with the live studio. I had no clue. So they're like, okay, now, and they whisk me out, and like they're like, okay, you're on in 30 seconds. I'm like, on, and I look. It's a studio audience. Like, think Ellen or, I don't know, the Maury Povich show or Jerry Springer, like whatever daytime talk show, that's what it was. So all of a sudden, they're like, and Terry Ryan. And I go out, and Mary's there, and the place is going nuts, and there's the applause meters or signs. I am going, what? It was so funny. It was like, I don't know if you watch Seinfeld, when Kramer has that, like, TV set in his living room. It was just like, I had no fucking clue. I go out there, boom, we get right into it. She asked me a question. I take out my tooth, right? Explaining about the acting. I take out my tooth, how I get into it or whatever. And people are, ah, they all react at the same time. Ooh, ah, and then like clap. There had to be an applause sign there somewhere. I've been in those places. Everybody just doesn't clap in unison at the exact same time about a tooth coming out. But anyway, it was one of those. It was like 10 minutes of all of a sudden there's cameras on me and I'm on live daytime TV. It was just wild. And then we went out of there and like sat in the coffee room and waited for the next one, which was like, I can't remember, but it was, most of it was just audio. Anyway, wild, wild afternoon. Went down to see some, I'll get to Bob Cole in a second, by the way. Went down to see some of the Allen Cup. Our boys from Newfoundland, the Southern Shore Breakers, made the final, but lost to Dundas Real McCoys, my good buddy Cam Fergus. And I should say Brett Leggett. Leggett's a friend of mine too. But Cam Fergus, Cam does our stunts and everything for Shorzy. Stunt coordinator, one of them, and played hockey here in Newfoundland. Played in the queue at 50 Tucks and real good friends with a lot of my good friends. And like I said, he was here in 4 years in the Newfoundland Senior League and a fantastic hockey player. One of the best imports that ever came through here was Cam Fergus. Anyway, it's good that we get to hang out now on Shorzy and whatnot. And I like Jaron Formus, except when he's playing against the Newfoundland representative. But that's 2 years in a row. Cam and the boys won it last year, beat Newfoundland 3-2 in the final. This year it was 6-2. But proud of our guys, really am. And they put on a good show just getting to the final, to be honest. And my buddy Stevie Oates, there's a shout-out, played fucking unbelievable. Stevie's 40 or 41. And, you know, a lot of you that don't know senior hockey, it's not a bunch of 40-year-olds playing like that. Some provinces have, like, I would have been the oldest in our league by a lot this year if I'd gone back and played. I can only think of one. I don't want to leave anybody out, but we got a great league on the go here. Six teams in the East, and is it three or four in the West? Real interesting. I love the fucking format here for senior hockey. It changes year to year, but, you know, overall, all the young guys come back and play and make it competitive. And, you know, it's a real thing to play for your hometown or your senior team, whatever it is here in Newfoundland. I talked about it at the Allen Cup. But anyway, yeah, like it's not a bunch of guys that are like way over the hill. It's competitive. The average age, I'm thinking, is in your 20s for sure. Mid upper 20s, maybe. So, anyway, they worked hard.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets, only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
Now, I said I'd get to Bob Cole. And as a Newfoundlander, I mean, yeah, I'm sure if those who don't know, I can't give you the whole, but there's too much to speak about. And I'd want to do it all justice. So I am going to give you the reason, you know, I'm going to give you a few stories and some of the reasons Bob Cole was great. For those that don't know, if you're overseas or whatever, you've probably heard the name in the last few days because he passed away and there's lots of tributes, but he was the voice of most of the big games growing up that I remember, especially when I saw the highlights. I was like, yeah, Bob did that. Bob did that one too. That one. I mean, he was highly sought after. He did most of the big games in my lifetime up until just a few years ago. He passed away at 90, worked into his 80s. And just, you know, you think of the best. It was Foster Hewitt was, if not the first hockey commentator to go national and be like a worldwide, not celebrity, but he was known, probably became a celebrity in death in retrospect. But Foster Hewitt, and at least the most pronounced, he was a pioneer, okay? So Foster Hewitt was groundbreaking and all, like, you know, and he was the voice of hockey from the, say, 30s to the, I mean, Hewitt might even have come in the late 20s, but 30s to the 60s. So Bob Cole from here, I mean, he ended up carrying that torch right until now. I mean, it's amazing. Now I probably say Chris Cuthbert. I mean, there's all kinds of avenues now, and there's way more people commenting and broadcasting and doing the play-by-play. Bob was, when I say all this thing, he was a play-by-play guy, but the play-by-play, there's a lot of people, but I would think Chris Cuthbert, given that he's Hockey Night in Canada now, he's Cuthbert. He's got a similar style in that, like, you know, with Bob would. I'm not saying he dragged on. That's a bad way to put it. Like, Bob knew when to shut up. He knew. It's almost poetic how good he was at it, at bringing the scene to you as a viewer and listener emotionally, right? Because he didn't overdo it, but he didn't ever say nothing. And a lot of the major sayings or quotes or, you know, things he was known for were spur of the moment, like the Mario Lemieux, "Oh, baby. Oh, baby." I mean, clearly, you wouldn't think that on its own would stand out and be so legendary. But when you watch the whole scene play out, it is legendary. And Bob Cole, anyway, so the only reason I said Chris Cuthbert is because he does a lot of games that we've seen, of course. They worked in the same spot. They're tend to know a lot of their players and have a style that's less is more kind of thing, okay? I'm butchering it, but anyway. So Bob went to see Foster Hewitt in the late 60s and gave him like an audition tape of sorts, thinking, and way back, right? That's the way things were done, right? Just like a musician in like the late 50s, and you hear these stories of like Carl Perkins walking in the sun and here's my tape. Well, and then like becoming a star. Well, yeah, think pre-internet is one thing, but think pre like fax machine or any of that, or like even like two lines on a phone. No cell phones, you know, forget texting and internet. Just dialing somebody's number with not always having the access. You know, you didn't have somebody's home number. How would you ever get them a message? So, and it was also a time, he just walked into CBC. That's what he did. He just walked into CBC, had his tape there anyway, was surprised. So Foster Hewitt listens to it, gives him a bunch of advice, and Bob eventually makes his way. I don't know his first years in the NHL. I probably should. I'm doing this segment, but I don't think it's important. I know it was early 70s, and I know that he did a take of the – so in 1972, if you're Canadian, you know the big goal that Paul Henderson scored in an eight-game series, exhibition series with the Russians. That was the first of its sort. So big in Canada and the way it played out that, I mean, Henderson scoring that goal is on like one of our national coins. It was on a stamp. you could make an argument it's the biggest moment ever, and it's not just because it transcended sports. I love the Gretzky to Lemieux, the Lemieux goal in 1987. That's my favorite. But I think the 72 means more on a worldly level, on a national, on an international level. Yeah, the Lemieux goal didn't mean anything internationally, but was big to us. And to me, it's the two best players of the era, arguably ever, coming together for a goal. But the Henderson goal, for many, many, many reasons, will go down as one of the huge moments in Canadian history, never mind hockey history. But Bob now that, so Bob does, there is a version that he does, because there, I don't, the version we're watching is on TV, and I believe it is Foster Hewitt. Bob did the, there was a radio. I hadn't heard this until recently. My dad has the album, so there's like a record of it. I honestly, this blew my mind too, because I'd seen the scene a trillion times, but I'd never heard Bob's take, and it's out there somewhere. You can buy it. It was just the radio feed for somebody, and anyway, it's a record. And you can hear Bob Cole being Bob Cole. It could be 71, 72, or 2015. It sounds the same. But he started here doing the Herder games, right? So the Herder, I often talk about senior hockey. I opened here talking about senior hockey. That's how Bob started his broadcasting, right? That was big. It's still the same, right? The East plays West. They come together for the Herder Finals. All the locals, you play, you sell it out. And it's a local thing that is still cherished, part of our hockey heritage, part of our provincial culture. Bob did that, okay? But Bob, like, played all kinds of sports. I mean, the whole reason he got into broadcasting is because he hurt his ankle real early on, or maybe his knee. He was playing soccer, right? Big-time athlete. And he hurt, he was either his ankle or his knee, hurt it. And the story goes, this is all in his book. It's a great book. You should go out and get it. It came out just a few years ago, and it was a phenomenal read. So that's what happened. So he was sitting, he was just kind of sedentary. He couldn't move much as a kid. So he was listening to Foster Hewitt for 6 months. And he developed a real affinity for broadcasting and play-by-play. So that's how he got into it. That's why the roots of him aspiring to be a play-by-play guy. But locally, all the while this is happening, like, he's the best curler in the province at the time. Well, I guess you could argue that, but definitely one of them, because he won the provincials more than once. I think it was 71 or 72 and 75. So 71 and 75. So, like, while he's making a career, the game I just told you about happened in 72, while this is all going on, Bob represented us twice at the Brier. Didn't win. I think his best year maybe was 4-6 or 5-5, but he was our, you know, he was the skip, Bob Cole, right, from Newfoundland. And then I would often see Bob golf. I'm not a big golfer, but all my buddies, Ryan Clough, Ricky Field, Jeremy Hart, Michael Ryder, all the boys, I can go on and on, but that's who I used to, like, if the boys were golfing, I'd go there and get a head start drinking with them later. So I'd, like, maybe go, boys would usually go golfing at a party, you know, all the Newfoundland crowd. So I knew that on a Friday at Clough Valley, the golf course at the time, it's since changed hands, but it used to be, so I would go there, sit down at the bar, maybe have a few drinks, and wait for the boys to be done. And Bob was out there often. So I mostly saw him in that environment. I don't know how good of a golfer he was. He must have been okay. And I know he was at it. And he loved that. Like, competing and being social was Bob's favorite thing, right? A lot of people don't realize that. I'd call him Mr. Cole, by the way, except when I did meet him, he asked me to call him Bob. So I'll tell you about that in a sec. Excuse me. Where was I? Sorry, I can't remember. But anyway, Bob Cole, I often talk about here, but I got my start in the film industry on a TV show, Republic of Doyle. right? And a lot of you know what I'm talking about. You're Canadian. It was a huge show here. Even if you're not Canadian, now you can stream it on two or three different platforms worldwide. It was fairly successful detective show. Alan Hawko, right, who was the Jared Kiso of that show. He wrote a lot of it. He was the main actor. He was a producer. Well, Bob Cole, though, used to come on. Bob narrates a lot of it. I can't remember if we did it the whole way through, but I worked on the show. I watched it. Bob would recap a lot of maybe the week before. He'd catch you up to he was narrating. He narrated quite a bit on that show. I know that. Yeah, he was in it a lot, and he used to come and hang around the set here and there too, and so I got to know him that way. But my favorite now, he was so good. Before I just tell you a little story, why I think he was so good, I explained a lot of it earlier, but he really had a real, real knack. I've never seen anything like it for the moment. And you can't really study that, right? You can, and I'm sure some people are great. I love Jack Michaels with Edmonton. He used to be my guy in Colorado, but I'm trying to be as objective as I can when I say this. I think Jack's awesome. I know he must write a lot of those sayings down. I can't say I know it. But Jack often, something will happen, and what he says is so perfect. You got to think it was a little bit thought out. I mean, I would, right? I would often, okay, if there's any pun whatsoever, I don't know, Carey Price makes a save, The Price is Right. The Price is Right tonight. Right, I could totally see myself writing a bunch of those down just in case we get there. So I'm not knocking Jack. I assume maybe he doesn't. And I think he's one of the best on the go now. I really do. It's almost too perfect at times. But with Bob, a lot of it now, I know, because I've spoken to him about this. I asked him. I was always interested in that side, as you know. And a lot of it really is off the cuff. He's like, you know, you got to. I forget his words explaining it of advice, but he had an idea and he had a few things that he might refer to at times. But most of Bob's greatest work is in the moment and letting the situation dictate. He knew exactly when to chime in. Sometimes not for a minute, just let the crowd do the work. Let the moment speak for itself. End-to-end rush, you know, guy puts it in, crowd's going mad. Bob would have that two or three words and then let the situation play out and then chime in again. It seemed at the perfect time with the perfect saying. And I don't know. So the things he was so great at, it's hard to practice, right? You can, just because things are playing out. I mean, I don't know why I said that about Jack. Jack obviously has a think on his feet too. That's the nature of the beast in that job, right? You don't know what's going to happen. It's spontaneous. Now, I love that about it. As a player, that is why certain guys have better hockey IQs than others, right? In that moment, you can't practice it. But in that moment, boom, boom, you make that play, right? A lot of people now are down on Mitch Marner, and if you're a Toronto fan, I can totally see why. But he's one of his assets is that. I don't know. Every team has them. I don't know. Johnny Gaudreau, fucking Mika Zibanejad, Matthew Tkachuk. I'll go down the list. It's just Marner stands out to me, but I guess because I have to watch so many, though. I mean, I could say the obvious. Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby. They just things happen, and there's hockey's such a fast game and it's so systematic that there's only a few times during a game that a player can really do something to stand, and it's often boom boom, it's just quick, it's just thinking on your feet, it's hockey IQ, Kucherov, there you go, and it separates the men from the boys a lot, right? And it certainly separates the big time players from the players that go out and work hard. Definitely smart, certainly You got to be fairly smart to play in the NHL, especially on one of the top two lines. But not everybody thinks on their feet the same. And the top, like, 5 to 10 are it's almost like watching a Picasso paint. It's like so it's so beautiful watching them do it that you're in awe. Right. Like I used to remember parts. I remember now going and looking forward to practice sometimes to like see what Pierre Turgeon and Vinny Damfus were going to do. Now, Shane Corson was out there. He's a real smart player, too. Right. And Corson would almost, you know, surprise you with his vision was so good on the ice. But it was like Turgeon and Damfus. I can go Koivu. I'm just saying the first two people I went up there, Koivu wasn't there, like, you know, my first camp. So it's just like those guys, like Turgeon immediately. I just went out there and I'm like, wow, we're going so fast and he's doing so many creative things. And it blew me away. Well, Bob is like that, you know, because you just can't plan what you're going to do. If we all went out there and just skated around and took shots, okay, I can give you an idea who's a good skater, who's got a good shot. But it's that spontaneous thinking on your feet. And Bob was so fucking good at that. It was beautiful. So anyway, it's 99, I suppose. I just finished the game. And he comes down. Oh, it was the game I fought Bugner and Barnaby. It was Hockey Night in Canada. And it was like 1-0 or 2-1. I hit the post on a breakaway in Hasek. So I got third star. And I got the Hockey Night in Canada interview. It's out there somewhere. So proud. Proud as a fucking peacock, man, to be out there. Come in from the interview after, and Bob was there sitting in the stall next to me. It was me and Bob. I think Scott Thornton was still there icing. Stevenson was in the room. They wouldn't remember this because Bob came down all the time, but I do because it was a unique experience, and it was the first time as a Newfoundlander that Bob ever really, I'm going to say acknowledged me. I'd met him like, hi, how you doing? Like presenting awards at the soccer award in all Newfoundland in the summer or something, or dropping the puck at a peewee game. You know, I'd come across him, but I never really sat down. I didn't feel I earned his respect yet, you know? So he ends up, yeah, he sat down and he had a real meaningful conversation with me. I can go into it, but there's no point. It's not really part of the story, but it wasn't just hockey. It was, you know, advice and, you know, representing Newfoundland. And, you know, we talked about senior hockey and the Herder and all that. And then he just said at the end of it, he was leaving the room and he turned around and he came back right over in front of me again. And he said, and by the way, no more Mr. Cole. It's Bob from here on in. And I said, okay. I started to get the cold shivers. And I remember like nearly tears of joy. I had to like stop myself. And he looked right in my eye and said that and nodded his head. So I knew. And then he left. And from that point, then I did have a lot of conversations with him because, like I said, I'd run into him on set. The last meaningful one was just a couple years ago downtown, Kraft Hockeyville, maybe. Ron McLean was here for it. Ron got him out. We sat down and had a bite and a meal. And, yeah, he was telling hockey stories again, senior hockey stuff. When I was around, he loved to talk the Newfoundland stuff, right? Because I knew what he was talking about. But what I loved about it is that, I don't know, like when I was coming up and I really, really was dominating, when I was, I'm not trying to brag, things had changed after that. People caught up, whatever. But early, like when I was 13 in Pee Wee and I went to that Quebec Pee Wee tournament and got scouted, I'm serious. Like it was lights out. I was nearly my size now. You really wouldn't believe it. Like I got pulled out west for a reason. I say I got drafted third overall and I did, but I nearly went first. We had to make a trade so that wouldn't happen. Like I'm not trying to accomplish anything other than I'm telling you that for those reasons you would think that, and most Newfoundlanders did. Now, he knew who I was, but he was so busy. I don't really think he knew the player I was. Like, I don't think he really knew my stats. And why would he? He's Bob fucking Cole. most people did. I'm just saying he was coming at it from the other end. Like most people are around the ride with me. He was already way up there paying attention to all the Newfoundlanders that came before me and every other player in the league. He's doing, you know, major, major games. He did the Stanley Cup finals every year. You know, games, the Canada Cups, the Olympics. I didn't expect him. But so by the time, my point is that by the time I had my career was over before it started in his mind, right? In my mind, in his mind. I never really got a chance for it to come to fruition because of injury. And for that reason, I never ran into Bob much after that in an NHL arena, because I would go to the game as a fan and I wouldn't be around the dressing room or whatever. And where are you going to see Bob Cole? You're going to see him walking around section E2 looking for beers and popcorn. It's not going to happen. So when I did see him, he never bullshitted me about it. I know how good of a player I was, but that wasn't the point. He didn't have to say, too bad, Terry. You know, I mean, it's nice if he would have, but he did, you know, too bad, or you got fucked over, this or that. He didn't so much care in that he was proud of what I did for the other Newfoundland players, even if it was indirect, and a lot of it was my dad just getting me away. But he would always bring that up. He'd say, you know, if it wasn't for you going, and you know, my dad introduced my agent to Danny Cleary directly, was a result of, and Cleary went to Ontario immediately. After that, it was Harold Drucken. I know we really, really, really had a lot to say in getting them away. And, you know, Cleary went in the first round. Drucks went in the second shortly after. And then people started to really look at Newfoundland and give it more serious thought when it came to scouting. Like I said, if I didn't go to the Quebec Peewee Tournament, I could add 800 goals here. No one give a fuck, right? They didn't care. But after that, then you started, and now all of a sudden Michael Ryder came out, right? Then Ryan Clough. You get down to Adam Party, Teddy Purcell, Luke Adam, right to now, Dawson Mercer, Alex Newhook, soon to be Ryan Green. Like, so, and those are just guys in the NHL I'm talking about. When I went to play Major Junior, there was only one or two. I knew Gordy Walsh was in the O. There was nobody in the dub. There might have been one. No, there was nobody. Jeff Loader ended up going to the queue. But that was, you know, after I came. I was 14 when I left, right? And people, I remember, started to really scout Newfoundland. So Bob was really aware of that. And he used to talk about that every time. And if I ever was self-deprecating, he'd go like, you remember now, boy. You remember that, Terry. Right? You did a lot for those fellas. You did a lot for those fellas. Good Newfoundlander. And he loved the fact that I went home and I still played senior hockey. He really loved that. Again, because he started in senior hockey. And for the league here, you know, he said, you know, it's big that you're playing. And, you know, a lot of other pros come back and want to play because you did. And, you know, I don't know how much truth is to that part of it. But the first part, yes, I do take pride in getting some of the boys away. And I know a lot of them would have found their way anyway. I mean, it's inevitable at some point, right? With the internet and with just the world, the globalization of everything, and with the minor hockey here and great private schools that are going on. And at some point it would have happened. So timing was probably on my side more than anything. But really, he acknowledged that every goddamn time I saw him. And I like that about him. It's a same sort of thing. Less is more. He approached all that with the same way, with grace. He was dignified. He had everybody's respect and trust, and we loved the guy. He was a beautiful man. And for me, an influence would be an understatement. But I knew all about Bob Cole before I heard him say a word on TV. I didn't realize the Bob Cole that was announcing games when I watched it as a young fella. I didn't realize that was the same Bob Cole that was represented Newfoundland at the Brier in the 70s. All places around town, people spoke about Bob Cole like he was a legend in the 80s. Like, I'm 5-6 years old. I remember hearing about Bob Cole everywhere you went. Then he had the golf tournament, right? The Bob Cole golf tournament. I didn't realize that it was, again, the same Bob Cole. He would bring Wayne Gretzky, Mark Messier, whoever, like the who's who of the hockey world would be here for his golf tournament in the mid 80s. And just had a lot of people's respect. They loved him, and that's why they went to war for him. So anyway, it's a sad day that he passed away, but it's good that he was 90 years old. He got to live a full life and worked right up until his 80s. And I'm going to miss him just knowing that he was around. You know, I really will. I'll miss having Bob just knowing that at some point I'd see him and get to have a nice conversation with an elderly legend of life, not just hockey, and someone that meant a lot to me when it came to hockey, being a Newfoundlander, being a member of the media, or just being a Canadian. I'm so proud of him and everything he did for me, my buddies, the people of Newfoundland, the people of Canada, and the hockey fans worldwide that he loved and adored. Thank you, Bob Cole. I love you. I will miss you. Rest in peace. If you're downtown St. John's, you want to grab a beer, check out Trinity Pub, TJ's Pub, the Rob Roy Confusion, the Martini Bar, Green Sleeves, and of course the Bull and Barrel. If you're going to have the bite to eat, try the Loose Tie, Merchant Tavern, Blue on Water, or Wedgwood Cafe. If you are on Ropewalk Lane, you want, well, let's say, if you're not on Ropewalk Lane, wherever you are, and you want strength and balance for the body and mind, Ryan Power, Power Conditioning. Strength, balance for the body and mind. Ryan also does stuff online now. He does online classes, so you don't really even have to be in Newfoundland. Check it out, Ryan Power, Power Conditioning. Mr. Lube, two locations here in Newfoundland and Labrador. St. John's, anyway. Tor Bay Road and Canmount Road. Live, laugh, lube. Chris Sparks. Live, laugh, lube. Pitbull Pain Relief, the pain sticks that just don't quit. Go to pitbullpainrelief.com and see what all the fuss is about. True Hockey, take what's yours. Thanks, boys. Really appreciate it. Love my True Hockey gear. And the sticks are second to none. Corey Gregory and True Hockey. Thanks, boys. Take what's yours. I'll be back in just a few days with another tale with Tales with TR and another guest. Catch you guys on the rebound. Thanks again.